Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Cecilia Kitchens-Milder, and I will be presenting this afternoon's webinar on the Fulbright Scholar in Residence Program opportunities for community colleges. If you're seeing the screen right now, if you can hear me, if you could just raise your hand in the GoToMeeting module, that would be very helpful for me to know that we're in business. So I like to see those green hands. Thank you for confirming that. So we will go ahead and get started from here. During today's webinar, if you have any questions at all, please feel free to use the questions box inside of the GoToMeeting module, and we will take care of those questions at the end of the webinar. If for whatever reason, I'll be keeping an eye on it. If for whatever reason they're relevant for the point at which we are in the presentation, I may address those at that point in time. But I'm hoping to leave as much time as possible to ensure that we have enough time for questions. And if I don't get to your question, my email address will appear various times during the presentation, so you'll be able to see where to get a hold of me, and you can go ahead and follow up with me at that point as well. All right. So, as I mentioned today, today's webinar is about Fulbright Scholar in Residence Program opportunities for community colleges. You see my information here. My name is Cecilia Kitchinsky-Mulder, and I'm a program manager here at the Institute of International Education in the Council for International Exchange of Scholars, and I manage the Fulbright Scholar in Residence Program, which is an institutional opportunity for institutions to apply, and we'll talk about what the program entails in great depth as we go through the presentation today. So without further ado, a little bit of an outline of what to expect out of today's presentation. We will do a little bit of an introduction about the Fulbright program in general. We will have an overview of the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program. We'll talk about some case studies as well so that you can see how other community colleges have been able to use the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program. We will outline what the application components entail. We also will talk about the tools and resources that are available as institutions looking to apply for the program, and we'll talk about other institutional engagement opportunities as well. So the Fulbright program itself was started back in 1946 by Senator J. William Fulbright, and this was a way to provide an avenue and a venue for mutual understanding, to bring people from the United States together with people around the world and vice versa to discuss different topics and different sorts of engagement. And you can see a quote by Senator J. William Fulbright here. So, you know, just using those kind of academic exchange programs to provide a bridge between cultures and provide an avenue to foster mutual understanding. The Fulbright program itself has a variety of different branches to the Fulbright program. So this particular one deals with institutional opportunities as it relates to engaging with international faculty members. We also have opportunities for U.S. scholars to go abroad. We have other opportunities for visiting scholars to come to the United States. We have student programs. We have opportunities for English teaching assistants, for foreign language teaching assistants, as well as academics, or as well as rather professionals and artists as well. So I mentioned before that it was established in 1946 to expand and strengthen the relationships between the people of the United States and the citizens of the world. The program itself is sponsored by the United States Department of State Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, and it is administered by the Institute of International Education. In the case of the scholar program, it's further administered by the Council for International Exchange of Scholars, which is a division of the Institute of International Education. We're very proud to be celebrating our 70th anniversary this year, so we're continuing on with the original mission of the program, and we're trying to find new strength in kind of the evolving landscape of international exchange. All right, so the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program is a subset of the Fulbright Scholar program in that through this special initiative, it brings scholars and professionals from abroad to campuses in the United States that do not often host visiting scholars and or serve underrepresented audiences. The unique element of this program is that it's an opportunity for institutions to really take a stake in saying we would like to internationalize our campuses by doing X, Y, and Z, and this is the scholar, or this is the area of the world that we would like a scholar to come from. So in the case of community colleges, a lot of times community colleges might not necessarily receive as many visiting scholars coming to teach or to conduct research on their campus, but it's a very wonderful opportunity to engage, to have a visiting scholar on your campus and to help to internationalize curricula and grow programs. So this is a way that you as a community college could take a stake and take that initiative to want to move forward with having a visiting scholar on your campus. So primarily SIR grantees teach undergraduate courses, and they also provide a cross-cultural perspective or an international perspective to your existing curriculum. You may put forward an application for either a semester or a full academic year. So basically you're outlining what a scholar would be doing and for how long while they were on your campus. So applications are made by the U.S. institutions, and we have a deadline annually every year of October 16th. So as you're trying to sort of get your institutions involved and get their interest in having a scholar in resident, you might wonder what kind of case could be made for why your institution would benefit by having a visiting scholar on your campus. So some of the experiences from other institutions that have been successful in applying for and hosting a scholar in residence, we've seen that the host institution has been able to gain new knowledge, new courses, and new energy from a scholar. We also have instances where the scholar's collaborative relationship with the host institution and colleagues in country have resulted in continued dialogue and exchange between those two countries. Also, it would be a great opportunity to bring specific sub-disciplines or specific perspectives to existing curriculum at your home institution as well as your home community. And also, other outcomes and impacts that we've seen through the program have come through education abroad programs, virtual exchange or online courses, memorandum of understanding initiatives, among others. So, as I'll outline throughout the webinar today, you'll see that there are various components to the Fulbright Scholar in Residence proposal that would kind of help you as an institution to shape what you're hoping to gain through having a visiting scholar on your campus. So we'll talk about different ways throughout the webinar to sort of highlight those initiatives and where best to outline that information. All right, so specific to the institution types for the Scholar in Residence program, we have a variety of opportunities available, and we've served a variety of institutions, but we do specifically reach out to the institutions that you see here, most of which are from our minority-serving institution community, as well as community colleges and small liberal arts colleges. We also encourage rural colleges and universities to consider applying for the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program. And also, this is a really great opportunity for institutions to consider partnering with other institutions in the area. So being from a community college, it wouldn't be a requirement to partner with another institution, but it's a really great way to consider ways to share resources to sort of expand your network as well as the network of the scholar once they get here. And also, it's often a good way to kind of share best practices and share logistics across more than one institution. All right. So we just looked at a slide that basically outlined in words what types of institutions are engaged with the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program, but I thought it might be helpful to also see it in sort of a chart format for you. So this is split up by the different sorts of institutions that are served by the Scholar in Residence program. So you see the minority-serving institution types outlined here. You also see an other MSI category, so you may not fall within one of the regular minority-serving institution types like an HBC or an HSI, Hispanic-serving institution, but you may have a large number of minority students on your campus, so you can outline that as this kind of other idea. But you can see here from the perspective of this chart, since 2010, 21% of the total number of grants actually came from community colleges. So this the demographic of the community college community is very strong within the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program. So we've had a number of success stories, which I'll outline in the following slides, But you'll see that there's a lot of strength within your particular community. The only other higher sections would be from the small liberal arts category, and then we have this other or non-target institution type category, but these might be institutions that have perhaps partnered with a community college or partnered with a minority-serving institution as well. So, you know, the odds are fairly good. So a lot of times people ask what are the number of grants that we get per year, what are the number of applications. I can share that we average about 30 to 35 grants per year, and we have somewhere between 60 and 70 applications per year. So that'll give you an idea of what the odds are or the chances are through the Fulbright Scholar and Residence Program. So if you have at your institution kind of thoughts about how you could engage internationally, definitely reach out to us and let's discuss how we could make a Fulbright Scholar in Residence opportunity available to you. All right. So here are a few quotations regarding some of the scholars that have engaged with community colleges through the Scholar in Residence program. So this will be shown through two slides, but just generally speaking, I want to mention about the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program that we have a variety of different disciplines that are applied for through SIR. So you might be wondering what might be an appropriate discipline or what disciplines are commonly used by the Scholar in Residence program, and this really ranges. Most of the time we do have proposals from kind of the soft sciences and humanities, so looking at the like political science, sometimes looking at language and culture programs. We also have literature that's highly represented within the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program, but we also get proposals in, say, economics, agriculture, animal sciences. We kind of run the gamut. Basically, when you're applying for the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program, you're making a case for why your particular campus or your particular program would be benefiting from having a scholar teach in that particular discipline or help you to internationalize your curriculum in that particular discipline. So, you know, if you have questions about other disciplines that you're trying to figure out how to frame while applying for the Scholar in Residence program, definitely reach out to us and we can talk about different ways to do so. So the first example that we have here is regarding Red Rocks Community College. In the case of Red Rocks Community College, they actually partnered with a larger institution in the area at the University of Colorado Boulder. They brought in a scholar from South Africa named Dr. Sylvester Mafoso, and he was teaching courses within their peace and restorative justice program, as well as bringing perspective into their African studies program. So he was teaching concurrently at the University of Colorado Boulder as well as Red Rocks Community College in a similar kind of capacity, but it was really a wonderful opportunity for both campuses to bring a scholar from South Africa to talk about this particular topic because they were able to expand on their already existing offering. So if you're kind of thinking through how you might partner with another institution in the case of such as this one, you would be also talking about the logistics of getting the scholar from one campus to the other and things like that. But that's another kind of good way to engage with SIR. We've also had a lot of successes within the Northern Virginia Community College system. In the case of the Annandale campus, they brought Dr. Min Ji from China, and she taught a course called Topics of Contemporary Chinese Literature. But she also got into the community and was teaching things about, or was talking about her culture, Chinese culture, and the diversity of China through literature, through other areas of culture, and through her expertise in feminist Chinese literature. So this brought a lot of gains to the campus as well, and what was fairly unique about the case of Northern Virginia Community College was that because there are a number of branch campuses, they were able to share and have been able to share subsequent scholar-in-residence visits among all of the different campuses. So really highlighting some of the other community aspects you might have there through this particular case. Additionally, we have cases from Flathead Valley Community College, who hosted Dr. Zhi from from China, and he was teaching courses in Chinese literature and culture. We've also had, in the case of Eastern Wyoming College, they brought a scholar who was bringing an international perspective to agricultural-related subfields. So in one view here, in four different case studies, you see sort of the diversity, not only among where the scholars are coming from, not only among the institution types, but also among the different types of disciplines that are taught through SIR. So you're making that case for what particular discipline you would like to bring that international perspective to. All right. Also, I should mention that we have a variety of different kind of case studies, not only from community colleges, but from other areas on our website under the Highlights tab. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But you can see what other institutions have been doing, and we also have a listing on our website as far as what different institutions have received Fulbright Scholar and Residence grantees in the past. So if you're wondering if your particular institution has ever engaged with the program, our archive there goes back to about 2010, though the program predates that. So if you're wondering if you had any SIRs on your campus prior to that, definitely reach out to us and let us know. So as far as the application goes, we have an outline in the next few slides about what is required through the Fulbright Scholar in Residence application. So it's a fairly straightforward application. The form itself, just a few highlights here. We have a section where you would outline, in the beginning part of the application form, you're outlining your institution. You're also given the opportunity to outline your institution type there as well. And that just highlights that you're within one of our preferred institution types. And then a responsible administrative official would be somebody on your campus who would be able to sign off on any academic arrangements. So if you're putting forward any funding or if you're putting forward any specific dates that the scholar would come on campus, if your application form is approved, then we would call upon the responsible administrative official to sign off and confirm those academic arrangements. So the principal contact for academic arrangements would be somebody who would be the day-to-day contact for the scholar that's on your campus. So a lot of times the approach from institutions is that you have several people on campus who would be interacting with the scholar for various aspects of the program itself. But if there was some kind of main person that would be able to fulfill the role of the principal contact, you can include that there. Also in the narrative proposal, there's a section called oversight, and in the oversight section, you would outline individuals on campus and what particular roles they would play in the Fulbright Scholar in Residence visit on campus. So here you would outline the program dates. So we work a bit ahead in Fulbright. So in this case, we would be soliciting applications for the 18-19 academic year. So you would just be sure that the program dates would fall within the 18-19 academic year. So you can outline a semester or a full academic year. Usually grants are no less than 3 months, and they're usually no more than about 10 months. And then you'll also outline estimates of any cost share. So we'll talk a little bit later more in depth about cost share estimates and about what kind of falls into range as far as the cost share goes, but just know that you'll provide estimates or may provide estimates here. So through the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program and through your application when you're applying, you're kind of taking two different branches as far as how you're applying. So if you are applying and have a specific scholar in mind, you would be going forward with a named request, and in this section of the application form, you would be outlining their biographical data here, and that's just what we use to confirm the scholars should your proposal be approved. You may also say that you don't, or note that you don't have existing partnerships or kind of an existing relationship with a specific scholar, so you might request recruitment of a scholar from up to two different countries within the same world region. And that's perfectly fine as well. You know, we talk about the uniqueness of the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program, so when you're going through your application, if you're outlining that you would like a recruitment request, then you would just be throughout the application outlining what you're looking for as far as a specific scholar to engage with your grant, within your grant. And then we ask that you provide a proposal summary. So the proposal summary is very short. It's just 700 characters, and it would just be giving us a sense of what your proposal is all about, what you're having a scholar come to do on campus. So don't worry, you're not just going to be limited to this proposal summary. You're going to have quite a number of pages that can be dedicated to outlining more in depth what the program will entail, but the summary itself helps us in our recruitment efforts of scholars. It helps us with our peer review team as well to have a good understanding of what exactly you're looking for within your proposal. So then the real meat of the Fulbright Scholar in Residence application happens to be the narrative proposal, and there are two parts to the narrative proposal. The first part is the shorter of the two. So within the first part of the narrative proposal, we have the institutional profile, which on average would be about 4 to 5 pages for single institution proposals and about 7 to 8 pages for joint proposals. So within this section, you're outlining different bits of information about your institution. So the idea here is that you're putting on paper what exactly your institution is like, because we have a diverse range of institution types throughout the United States, and when our reviewers are reviewing the application, we're really relying on an understanding based on this institutional profile section. So you're outlining the size and characteristics of not only your student body, but also your faculty and staff, outlining your location. Where are you located in the United States? Where are you located perhaps in proximity to other cities in your area, other institutions? What your mission might be as an institution, what your current scope of academic offerings are, what community resources you have, so not only on your campus but also in the surrounding community as well. And then you're outlining any current international programs you have. Perhaps you have some exchange programs already in place, so what are those exchange programs and what countries do you engage with? If you ever had visits, whether short-term or long-term, from any other visiting scholars, faculty, or students, you might outline that in there as well. And then we're looking to hear about your short- and long-term goals for internationalization. So, how would the Scholar in Residence program help you to move forward toward those short- and long-term goals, and what do you envision, perhaps, in the next 5 or 10 years as an institution and as it relates to the institution as a whole, but also perhaps to the particular program that you would have a scholar visiting to. All right, so the second part of the narrative proposal is actually the meatier part of the narrative proposal per se. So this would be about 8 to 9 pages on average for single institution proposals, and about 12 to 13 pages for joint proposals. So in this section, you see outlined different topics, this gives us a sense of the bigger picture as far as a scholar's time on your campus. It's important to note that we do understand that as an institution, you are applying pretty far ahead of time. And so when you're putting things together for the Scholar in Residence proposal, everything might not be fully formed, but we would like to get a good sense of what you anticipate or what you're hoping for through the Fulbright Scholar in Residence proposal and through a scholar coming to visit your campus. So, you're kind of outlining these objectives, outlining these areas that you would like a scholar to come and teach. So most importantly would be the academic program of the scholar, and so this would be outlining what the scholar is teaching on campus, what you need as far as the scholars, so if you're naming a specific scholar, what they're bringing to the table as far as their discipline or their subdiscipline. If you're requesting a recruitment of a scholar, being specific about what qualifications or experiences you would like a scholar to possess if they are being recruited to come onto your campus. It's very important through the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program that when a scholar, and this is usually what happens through the SIR program, is that when an SIR comes on your campus, they're not just sort of camping out in your one department or within that one program, but that they're getting out into the larger institutional community. So they may go and give guest lectures in other departments, on other disciplines, perhaps about their home country, just providing insights into what a different subset might be like culturally speaking within China or within Romania or something along those lines. So really getting out of the classroom that they're teaching in and engaging with other areas of campus. Perhaps you'll put on a public lecture for the scholar once they arrive as well. Also, the scholars get out of the institutional community into the larger kind of community within the area that your institution is located. So sometimes scholars are talking at local area high schools or middle schools. Sometimes they're talking at local Rotary clubs or things like that. So this is also a really great way for your institution to sort of solidify partners outside of your academic community. And so it provides a lot of excitement when a scholar in residence comes on campus. So sometimes even more activities will form as a result of having the scholar on campus. So here we're just sort of trying to hear what you might envision as far as what a scholar could do in the outside community. Also highlighting initiatives that could be undertaken for professional enrichment. Perhaps this could be going, inviting the scholar to come to a new faculty orientation at the beginning of the year or the beginning of the semester. You may have faculty meetings throughout the year, so engaging the scholar there. I've seen sort of faculty-driven workshops where the scholar had presented on, you know, the academic community from their home institution. And if you have someone in a particular program who is looking to go to an academic conference, perhaps they could take the scholar in residence along with them as well. The sustainability aspect would be really zeroing in on how you would sustain the programs or how you would sustain the courses that you're having a scholar come on campus to teach in the future. So we talked about some of the outcomes of the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program to include internationalizing curriculum, forming an education abroad program. It's a really great opportunity when you have a scholar in your institution for a whole year to really discuss logistics about doing a student or faculty exchange program. So that's something that you could take time to prepare for and plan throughout the visit of the SIR. Perhaps you would do some online courses after the fact. I've seen other instances where scholar in residences have been filmed talking about their particular topics or adding insights from their home country related to different disciplines or topics, and that could be used or infused into the curriculum in the future. There are a variety of different ways that you can kind of sustain the scholar's time while they're there. So we talked about the duration of the grant period. You've outlined that in dates. If you're asking that the scholar come a bit ahead of time to do any sort of orientations or anything like that, you can outline that in the narrative proposal as well so we can get a sense for our planning purposes. At the point at which we need to kind of process the scholar's paperwork, then we'll know what the timeline is to get them in country on time. So I talked a little bit about financial support. So we encourage institutions to think through ways creatively that they could provide some sort of cost share. Some institutions are able to provide perhaps a salary supplement, but we understand that resources are different across different campuses in the United States. So we encourage you to think creatively about ways that you could offer some sort of in-kind support. So some examples of in-kind support could include including a scholar in a meal plan on campus, maybe providing furnishings for housing. Some institutions are able to provide housing. Maybe they have graduate housing or something like that, or you know, if there's some other kind of mode in the community that you might have. Sometimes institutions or faculty members will ensure they'll pick up the scholar and take them to, say, the grocery store just to ensure they get from one place to another. There are a variety of different ways that you could provide in-kind support, so you're offering sort of this estimate of what the in-kind support could be. If you're trying to think through ways of this, you know, definitely reach out and we can discuss it. And it's very important to note that this is not a determining factor of success for the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program. We are assessing the academic program of the scholar. We're not weighing our options based on institutions that can provide more than other institutions. This is just a way for you to sort of think through ways that you could help the scholar while they're on your campus. Okay. All right. So then I talked about the two branches. So if you're naming a specific scholar, as far as additional documentation that you would need to provide, you would be providing a CV for the scholar as well as two letters of recommendation. We recommend that one of those letters of recommendation come from someone who could speak to the scholar's teaching ability. So given that the scholar will be primarily teaching on your campus, it would be good to gain that insight to know that the scholar would be able, comfortable, and ready to teach the courses that you've outlined in your academic proposal or academic program of the scholar. So if you're requesting recruitment of a scholar, there is an additional section for your narrative proposal where you can outline information about the scholar that you would like us to recruit. So we are reaching out to our colleagues abroad, and we're providing them with information to assist them in finding or locating a scholar or a slate of scholars that might be best suited to undertaking your particular proposal. So we're looking for you to outline credentials, if there are certain credentials of the scholar that are necessary for someone who's teaching at your institution. It's really important to outline that there. If you have desired disciplines or specifically desired specializations, that would be great to outline there as well, because that would help us narrow the focus of the recruitment efforts. And you've already outlined up to two countries within the same world region in the application form. So we're using that information to reach out to our colleagues abroad for them to locate a scholar. And then ultimately, when we collect the, the applications or the CVs of the scholars that have been recruited, we share those with your institution, and ultimately the choice is up to your institution to determine which candidate might be best for what you're trying to do through the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program. So we're not making that decision on your behalf. We really would like you to make sure that or ensure that the scholar is a right fit for your academic program and your academic community. All right, so as far as supplemental materials go, we have here letters of support, and so these would be letters of support for your institutional application. So these may come from the community partners that you have through your proposal. It may come from other departments on campus. It may come from people within your oversight section as well. We at minimum need a letter from your administrative official, and there's no maximum as far as the letters go. But you can include those in your application, and they really help our reviewers to get a sense of the excitement behind the actual proposal and what you're hoping to do. We also ask that you submit sample syllabi or course outline. So this would really be a course outline or an outline of the course or courses the scholar would teach while on campus, or if there's existing curriculum that they would be adding to, kind of outlining where you envision their perspective being incorporated. That would be really helpful. And you can leave off any institutional policies or boilerplate text here. We're really just kind of interested to see what types of information or what types of courses the scholar might be teaching or topics. So once you have kind of decided to apply for the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program, I mentioned earlier that we have a deadline this year of October 16th, 2017. Every year it's about the same time of year. It's the middle of October. This year, October 15th happens to occur on a Sunday, so you'll have till Monday, October 16th to apply. The Scholar in Residence program, through the Scholar in Residence program, we understand that there may be institutions who have infrequently applied for such a grant or have never applied for this grant before or a grant of this type. So we try to provide as many resources as possible to assist institutions. So on our website, we have a detailed outline of our guidelines. So the guidelines take the different portions of the narrative proposal and application and really outline within there what we're looking for within each section. So I gave sort of a very brief overview of the different components of the application, but you can sort of expand that and see it there as well. It's on our website, and it's a really good tool. So if you're listening to the webinar and you would like to solicit the support of other portions of campus or other officials on campus, that would be really best suited to help and assist with drafting this particular proposal. This is a good way to say this is what we're looking for without having listened to the webinar. I'm available to answer any questions that you might have, as well as to read through draft proposals of the Fulbright Scholar in Residence proposal that you're looking to put forward. So this is a really good way to get feedback at any point in the process. I just ask that you submit those that you submit those draft proposals by the 1st of October, and that just allows me enough time to read through the draft proposals and to provide thoughtful feedback based on what has been heard through various review meetings that we've had in past cycles. So as of the 16th of October, once you submit your proposal, we would conduct a technical review of your application and just make sure that all of the components are included within that application before sending it on to our external review committee. So the external review committee would spend about a month reviewing all of the proposals that have been received, and then we conduct our external review committee, and we're reviewing those proposals to determine ultimately which ones would get funded. And then in January, the institutional applicants would be notified of the review outcome. From January through February, the Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, as well as the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board, would review any recommended proposals, while our office here would be confirming any institutional funding. And then from January through April, the scholars are confirmed or recruited abroad. And then we would provide the host campuses that requested recruitment, we would provide them with the nominees to review for their purposes. From April to June, so around this time of year, we're working very closely with the host institutions as well as with the scholars that have been named or recruited to process their documentation. So we would supply the DS 2019 or the visa support for the scholars. And so we're working diligently to get that done so that the scholars can be in place by August or September for the head of the academic year. So I talked a little bit about our application resources. So if you visited our website, which if you, anybody listening on the line who registered for the webinar, you may be acquainted with the Fulbright Scholar in Residence or the Fulbright Program website, really, but under the Scholar in Residence tab, you can see more information about the SIR program. We have a lot of, as I mentioned before, institutional stories about impact for the Scholar in Residence program. We have our application there. I highly recommend that in the earlier part of your process through applying for SIR that you start an institutional application. You don't have to go through the entirety of the application and submit. You can save your application and come back to it later. But once you're registered in the system, I can kind of see that you're there and that you're looking to apply and provide you with more resources as far as the application goes. Our application guidelines, as I said, include an outline of the application, focusing in on the different portions of the narrative proposal, providing information about common weaknesses that we've seen in unsuccessful proposals, as well as some of the strengths that we've seen, as well as outlining frequently asked questions. So that's always very helpful for institutions as they're working through. This is our second in a slate of webinars. Looking forward, we actually have a walkthrough of the Fulbright Scholar in Residence application happening in June. And then we also have a final call for questions, always 1 month before the application is due. And this is a really good opportunity to hear what other institutions may be asking in regard to the program, in regard to the application. So you may have similar questions or haven't really necessarily thought of things in the way that other institutions might, and you would like to sort of gain insight into that as well. So it's a little bit more of a virtual type of application advising type session. Definitely submit any draft proposals to us. We are happy to read, review, and provide feedback. If you don't have an entire draft proposal and you just want to talk about some ideas you have regarding the Scholar in Residence program, definitely reach out to me, and you'll see my email on the next slide, or two slides after this. And then join our My Fulbright community to stay connected, not only with the Fulbright Scholar in Residence program, but stay connected to hear about what else is being offered for U.S. academics in your, from your institution, in your fields, et cetera. So another institutional opportunity here that I like to highlight is called the Outreach Lecturing Fund Program, and this is a travel grant for Fulbright visiting scholars who are already in the United States. So if you would like to just get a sense of what it might be like to host a scholar on your campus, or perhaps you've hosted an OLS before, this is a really great way to stay engaged with the Fulbright program. So this is an institutionally driven application as well. There are a lot of commonalities in this regard as there are with Fulbright Scholar and Residence Program in terms of the institutions that we engage with through the OLF program. So when you're applying for an OLF, you can bring a scholar to give a guest lecture, exchange ideas with faculty and students. You may want to have them be engaged with community organizations in your area in K-12 schools. This all may sound familiar, is what I said, with SIR. But I think that this is a really great way to sort of generate enthusiasm and excitement behind hosting an international scholar or a visiting scholar that might sort of further your application for SIR as well. So you may also opt to invite scholar-in-residence scholars who are currently in-country to come to your campus, and then you can get a sense of what preparations might have been made on the side of their hosting institutions, what they're teaching while they're on campus, and really kind of further that network. So we have over 900 scholars in-country at any one given time or within a particular academic year. So you can search our Fulbright Scholar List, our online directory, to see who may be in country at that time. You can search by discipline, you can search by home country, you can search by institution type, just about any type of search to pull up someone who might be best suited to come speak at your institution. A lot of times we have a lot of visits surrounding International Education Week, or sometimes institutions might have a country or regional highlight throughout the year through their programming. So it's a really great way to gain that international perspective there as well. So if you have questions about the OLF program, definitely visit our website. It's outlined under the U.S. Institution section of the Fulbright Scholar website as well, or email olf@iie.org. And these would be like about maybe 2 to 5 day visits somewhere in there. All right, so I am now ready to answer any questions that you might have. Just a few reminders, definitely visit our website for more information about the Fulbright program. Participate in an SIR webinar, which you're doing now, which is really a great start. Something to note is that all of the webinars get archived afterwards, so if you would like to listen again to make sure that you didn't miss anything, or share the webinar with colleagues, it will include not only the slides, but it'll also provide or include the audio of today's presentation. Contact us with any questions or draft proposals. My colleague, Alyssa Improvento, here at IIECIS, she also assists me with the program, so you may hear back from us if you email us at sir@iie.org. You may get a response from me, or you may get a response from her, but we're ready and able to answer any questions that you might have through there, and to read and provide feedback on your institutional proposal. So the first question I have is about preferred institutions, so the preferred institution type. We did have a slide regarding that particular area, but most commonly engaging with the program are community colleges, small liberal arts colleges, and then we have different minority-serving institution types like historically black colleges and universities, Hispanic-serving institutions, Asian-American-serving institutions, Alaskan, Native, and American Indian-serving institutions, predominantly black colleges, and so forth. But we're pretty wide open in terms of institutions with SIR. It's just that if you're outside of those sort of preferred institution types, then you're just making a case for why an why your institution would benefit from having a Fulbright scholar on campus. Or you might consider partnering with another institution in your area. So another frequently asked question that we often get is related, I talked a little bit about the disciplines, but related to the disciplines, if there are any disciplines that that do not qualify with the scholar-in-residence program, but similar to the institution type when you're applying for SIR, you're really outlining what a scholar would be bringing forward toward your particular department or discipline. So, you know, if you have a proposal that is in the hard sciences, you're just outlining how that would, how an international perspective would help. Perhaps the scholar that you're naming within your proposal would be well-suited to teach a specific branch of mathematics or computer science or something along those lines. We have had proposals in like in animal sciences and things like that. So you're really just outlining and making that case for why having a scholar in residence or having a visiting scholar on your campus to teach that would assist with that curriculum. Another frequently asked question that we get is related to like the number of courses that a scholar is teaching while they're on campus. So we're really deferring to your institution type, but we really encourage you to think through like a balance. So scholar in residences won't necessarily be carrying the same weighted teaching load that your full-time faculty might be carrying on campus, just because they have all of these other you know, all of these other activities that they're involved in or engaged in your institutional community as well as in the outside community. I would say on average, scholars teach about 2 courses per semester, but you're really looking into what kind of courses you're having them teach. So are you having them teach existing courses and provide certain aspects into the curriculum based on what their subdiscipline is or based on what their home country perspective might bring? Are you having a scholar create a completely new course to teach while on campus? So that might take a little bit more preparation that might be involved to have that put into your curriculum. Sometimes institutions have opt to have the scholar co-teach a number of courses while on campus, and that's perfectly fine as well, as long as we get a sense of what the scholar might be bringing forward to your particular proposal or that particular course, just making sure that they are including their perspectives and so forth. So with the scholar in residence proposals as well, we have a tendency to, we will provide feedback to you, like your proposal may be accepted, but we may have a suggestion about the teaching load or something like that, and that also can come through when I'm reading the draft proposals so that you can see, or that, you know, we can discuss the scholar in residence time. But I do find that generally speaking, once the scholar in residences are arriving on campus, they are fairly busy. So busy in teaching their particular courses, preparing for those courses from one week to another, going out into the outside community. They might be also engaging in guest lectures in neighboring institutions or through the Outreach Lecturing Fund program. So, you know, you might find that the scholars are keeping pretty busy once they're in country. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing because we want to make sure that they're having the maximum benefit to your institution, to themselves. You know, it's really mutually beneficial having the scholar there and really sort of interacting with the students in your institution. So if people don't have any other questions, then I would say that we can end the webinar a little bit early. But I want to thank you for joining me for the Fulbright Scholar in Residence Focus on Community Colleges webinar. I'm really always glad to share information related to the Scholar in Residence program. My colleague from the State Department who couldn't join today is you know, a really good kind of reference for the program itself, and he often says that we're very biased in how we feel about the Scholar in Residence program just because we've seen the impact, and, you know, when scholars come on campus, since they're one of few, you know, they really get a very rich experience as far as engaging on your campuses because, you know, they really find that they can be fully integrated into your community. So it's a very exciting thing that sort of unfolds from the time that institutions are applying on through when you're actually hosting the visiting scholar. So I kind of look forward to speaking with all of you a little bit more about what you might be thinking in terms of the Scholar in Residence program or proposal. So thank you again so much for joining me today. I have another question. So do you have to work with an institution prior to an application? So yes, I'm guessing perhaps that this might be a scholar who is on the line as opposed to an institution. So this is an institutional application, so institutions would be applying for the program. So since it's residing out of the institution, then you know, we would be working with the institution for that particular application. But feel free to reach out to me with any further questions. Thank you and have a good day.